We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. This is very exciting. This is the 300th episode of this podcast. I started this show years ago, right at the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020. I had no idea this would last 300 episodes, but here we are, 300 episodes into the Fallout Lorecast, and I first and foremost want to say thank you to everybody who has listened, who is a current listener, everyone who's supported, everyone who's been there to make this a thing. I never expected that I could turn podcasting into a career, and because of this show and everyone's support, thank you so much for being here. And in order to celebrate, with me today, I'm Tom or Robots, if this happens to be the first episode you're listening to this. I have a bunch of my friends, a bunch of past guests, a bunch of other content creators and creators of other types, a variety of wonderful souls here to join me and talk about some of the things that we've loved the most about Fallout, the things that have changed over the last five-ish years, and then also the things that we're looking forward to in the future. And so I'm going to go real quick down the line. We're going to introduce everybody, and I'm sure you're going to recognize a lot of these people. First, we have Brad. Brad, how do people know you? Where would they know you from?
Well, I mean, to the extent that anybody would know me. So my name is Brad Williams. I'm the creator of a Fallout story podcast called Once Upon a Wasteland. We just did our third season finale yesterday. We've been doing this for 3 years now. It's pretty crazy. Like I mentioned before, not 300 episodes, but still sometimes it feels like 300 episodes. But we were featured in a community spotlight a couple of weeks ago on the Fallout website. So that was pretty cool. So it's one of the many Fallout story podcasts out there. We took a little bit of a different tack. It's more of a romance rather than a traditional video game kind of a story, but people seem to enjoy it and the reception's been great. We've had a lot of support from the community, your support from you yourself, Tom.
Especially
at the beginning that really got us off on the right foot. So I am certainly appreciative of everything that you have done for us. We would not be where we are today without everything that you did for us in the beginning and also throughout the run of the show. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. You know, fellow podcasters, we all love Fallout. We all have to support each other. That's how it goes. And thank you for joining me again. We also have Scully. Scully's joining us again. Scully, where would people know you from?
I think a better question is where wouldn't people know me from?
Alexa, turn off headlights.
I if there's a cookie jar in the Fallout community, my hand is in it. I'm originally from the Atomic Stop. I have a few of my own shows in Fallout 76 that I run, and I have a couple of podcasts that I do.
Yeah. So again, multi creator. So many of us have dabbled in so many different things. Thank you for joining me again. And then we have Chipmunk. Chipmunk's joining us. Chipmunk, where would people know you from?
Well, Tom, I'm Brian McLaughlin, also known as Chipmunk. It's kind of, I have two shows on YouTube. I have the Chipmunk sitcom, or the Chipmunk Show, which is a sitcom we shoot in 76. And then I have a live action travel show where I go out as the character and go to the real world locations. And we had our first season was all New Vegas, 24 locations in New Vegas. And our second season is all West Virginia. And we're currently up to the Beckley episode, which is episode 8. So that's going strong. The sitcom I love, and we're in our third and final season of that. And then we're developing our prequel podcast to that. So
yeah,
all that is in motion.
Yeah. And Chip also helps edit together the visuals for the episodes that of this show that go up on YouTube. So I work with Chip on that stuff. I take a lot of the stuff that I've already recorded and hand it over, and he does his magic, and it all works out together. So if you ever want to check out the show on YouTube, a lot of that stuff is Chip. So thanks for joining me, Chip.
Then we have thanks.
Yeah.
And thanks for I'm glad to share your podcast because it is wonderful stuff. And I'm every time I get one, I'm like, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
It all comes together.
Right. And before we move on to the next person, I just want to put this out there, especially for the live audience and those of you at home who can click on links in the description, which we'll have a link in the description for this. We are supporting the Alzheimer's Association as part of End Alzheimer's and Fallout for Hope. So there is an overlay on the live stream. There's a QR code you can scan. There's a link that will pop up intermittently in the chat. If you would like to donate, we would love the support. This is something that we're working hard to end. It affects so many different people. And just be aware that that's there. And if you'd like to support, we'd love your help. Also, we have Preston. Preston, where do people know you from?
Well, howdy, partner. You may know me from True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama. We have been an OTR, old-time radio-styled Fallout audio drama story since 2016. We've been around for quite a bit. Nothing close to 300. We're about at 65. But we recently got out of our first spinoff, The Cage Chronicles, and are getting close to producing a Star Wars crossover to close our season 6.
Wow.
And move on to a pretty eventful season 7. And, you know, if you love all of those old time radio, Nick Carter, Richard Diamond, that kind of Humphrey Bogart stuff, we just wrapped it up and put it in Fallout, basically. And I'm very thankful of you, Tom, and of Ken, who introduced me to Robots Radio, because beforehand, I had no clue other people did this. So I really didn't. I thought I was like kind of just my own sitting duck out in this content creation world. So very thankful for everything you guys have done.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. And then next, somebody who does something very different from podcasting, Tooniversal. Welcome to the show. You've been on the show before, but you do a very different kind of thing every day.
I do. Yeah. Tom, congratulations on 300 episodes. This is incredible. It's great to be a part of your other milestone episodes too. My name is Toon. I create live content here on Twitch around a lot of Bethesda titles, but I have made my mainstay Fallout 76 over the last 5+ years, and it's just been fantastic to see the community evolve and to see people come alongside it in new and creative ways. So thankful to be here, thankful to be a part of your podcast today, and looking forward to 100 more of your podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for joining me. And then we have follower Toshi. Toshi, you and I just had an interview not too long ago, but you're back.
I am indeed back.
Yeah. Where do people know you from?
So I'm probably the most generalist creator on this dais right now. I've made Let's Plays. I've done a little bit of Machinima stuff, dabbled in lore, all of it mostly revolving around the Fallout universe. More so recently, however, I've been starting to shift more into essay style videos, talking about, again, more stuff involving the Fallout universe, but also shifting into podcasting. Like you said, you and me sat down for an episode of my podcast, the Adam Cast, last month. I've done an episode with Brad. I'm hoping to do a lot of other episodes, interview style, with just interesting people in the internet in general. And right now that's Fallout creators, because Fallout creators are just so amazingly awesome and we have so much to say.
It's a very positive community. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And most of my stuff is just like I said, more so generalist essays. I do streaming, I make TikTok shorts, and essay style videos, and my podcast.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out your stuff. Follower Toshi, if you're looking for it, it'll come right up. And also thank you to Lil Green for the $25 donation. Thank you for that. Again, we love your support if you want to help support the cause. Lawrence is back. You've been on the show a few times. How do people know you?
Yeah, so Lawrence McNamara, I am the writer and creator of The Modus Files, which is another Fallout audio drama podcast. Actually, again, very much thankful to Tom and Ken from the Chad podcast for really encouraging me to embrace this genre. It's been totally cool. We write a story really from the perspective of the bad guys, which is great because I believe that every villain is the hero of their own story.
They are. So
So it gives you a different perspective, but it's been awesome. We've actually had a chance to work with a lot of people here. Brad and I go way back as well. So we are just extremely happy to be here and happy to be part of this community. So it's been a real life changer for us.
Yeah. It's been wonderful working with other fellow podcasters and of course, all these other creators as well. Thanks for joining us, Lawrence. And then Jessica's here. Jessica, you do lots of stuff. How do people know you?
Hey, Tom. Greets, everybody. Yeah, I'm Jessica Starr. I'll keep it brief because we've got a celebration to get to. But I work on the Fallout feed. I work with Lawrence on the Modus Files as part of his cast. Huge cast throughout the community. Love that show. Mm-hmm. And you can find me all over the internet talking about Fallout as Jessica Starr or at Sleepis4T. And just really happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for being here. And then somebody who was a co-host on the show for a while, my daughter Lainey. Lainey's back. Lainey, it's always fun to see Lainey. I have a lot of fun chatting and hanging out and stuff. But Lainey, I'm so glad that you were able to join us for the 300th episode.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're okay. Coming through.
Hi.
Hi.
It's so good to be back. 300 episodes is crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? It feels like forever ago.
That hosting at episode 100.
It was, yeah.
So,
it was about,
I mean, that's
100.
Three times that much. That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy how time goes by. But thank you for taking the time to join us. I know you've got other stuff going on, but
thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And then our final guest, last but not least, somebody who is a little bit different than a content creator in the sense that the rest of us are, somebody whose voice you will probably recognize right away, Mr. Wes Johnson.
Hello. Well, Cronin from Diamond City or the Silver Shroud, Mistress of Mystery. Any one of those folks out there, I'm just Scribe Bigsley who would be here today, but he was just too tired and irritated about it all.
Nice.
Just loving that. And of course, all the Protectron robots. I am looking for Miguel. Miguel is dead.
The way when you do the M and it like drops like multiple notes every time they do that, it like hits me and I'm like, oh.
My favorite is like, would you like a nice refreshing Coca-Cola?
Right.
I love those things,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's so good. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us. And you are one of the people behind.
Congratulations to you for 300 episodes. This is amazing. And, where do you find time to do anything else?
Well, this is my full-time job now. This show and the other shows that I do and running the network. So sometimes I squeeze in some video games and family
locked
stuff.
Locked in his secret underground dwell.
right.
Somewhere, a headquarters where no one can find him. It's like Vault 42.
Yes. So you also have a lot to do with the charity that we are raising money for. And also,
Voice of Palooza, which is, we do it every year in conjunction with Fallout for Hope. And we've raised almost $90,000 in the past 2 years. Oof. For Alzheimer's Association, which basically is just... Alzheimer's is a dreadful disease. I mean, I lost my mother. I lost my grandmother. So many people have been touched by this. And you lose people that you love before you lose them. And that's the tough thing about Alzheimer's. And it leaves you feeling incredibly helpless. So we've decided we're going to fight back. And we're fighting back, getting funds with fun. And in the past 2 years since we started doing this, not that Voice of Palooza or Fallout for Hope had anything to do with it, but people like this community, you talk about this wonderful community, the gamers, the streamers, with such wonderful hearts going out and working tirelessly to raise funds, have enabled them through research to find medication that is now being used right now to help people in the early stages of Alzheimer's and dementia to remain themselves longer.
Yeah.
That's what we can give people right now until we get a cure, which we're not going to stop until we end ALZ. But until we find a cure, trying to keep those you love who they are longer without the personality changes, without the loss of memory. Eventually, we do become the keepers of their memory. We become the ones who have to remember them for who they are. I'm always touched when I listen to the Elvis Costello song, Veronica. If you get a chance to listen to that, it's a very catchy, peppy tune, and then you listen to the words and you break down. So I am so grateful to everybody out there. If you hit exclamation point donate, you'll see a link that'll take you to where you can donate. Even if it's the amount of a cup of coffee, which, by the way, you have to, like, you know, get a lease on your house to buy a cup of coffee anymore. But the amount of a cup of coffee, or if you want to go further in the name of somebody that you love or care about to make some real damage to Alzheimer's disease, to drop the gloves on it, we'd be most grateful for you. And, you know, this event, thank you, Tom, for allowing us to tie into this, because there's so much fun going on the end of this month and then through next month, through the middle of next month. And this is just as big as anything else that we're going to do. 300 episodes of this wonderful lore cast. And, you know, getting to see so many of your folks who've come on. We were out in Amsterdam with ESO about a month ago, and getting to meet people in person was just a wonderful thing. And I hope everybody who was out there got to have themselves a nice Stroop waffle and didn't spend too much time in the coffee houses. I know we've been talking about coffee in Amsterdam. It's not coffee in the coffee houses. It's something completely different. Just watch the first few minutes of Pulp Fiction if you want to know. Right. They'll tell you all about it.
Right, right. Yes. And also, thank you to Nuke Me Gently for the $50 donation as well.
Ah!
Yes.
Thank you.
You know, Nuke Me. I thought it was only appropriate. I couldn't have done this show for 300 episodes if it wasn't for the support of the community and these other creators and people who listen, people who subscribe on Patreon, people who share it with their friends and rate the show and just constantly listen and come back, or take breaks and come back. If it wasn't for the listeners, I wouldn't be able to do this. And so I want to pay it forward. I always want to be contributing to either other creators and helping them with stuff, or to the Alzheimer's Association and helping people who genuinely could benefit from the help.
When we get a chance to do things that we love and are blessed with that in life, you got to give back. And frankly, the reason people listen, Tom, is because you love what you do. You believe in it. We feel your passion. When you ask questions, you're genuinely interested in the answers, which means we're genuinely interested in the answers. You become like a pal to everybody in the community out there. And we all get to sit around and listen to our pals have a conversation and chat about things that we love. What is not to like about that? That is why this is a rockin' podcast.
Well, thanks. Well, thank you so much. All right. Well, let's move into some discussion here, because I want to know, most of us have been around at least since the end of 2019. And a lot of us have been creating for continually since for the last 5+ years, or however long you were when you started. Young guys like Preston started in 2016, right? Where we were, and I don't want to talk about pandemic stuff so much, but I would like to talk about where we were in 2019, 2020, when the show started, compared to now, and your relationship with the Fallout games. How has that changed? Because we haven't gotten a new mainline game, but Fallout 76 sure has gone through a metamorphosis of being something everyone was laughing about to something everybody loves now. And a lot of new people are finding it because of the Fallout TV show, which came out recently. There's a lot of positivity around the TV show. This IP is probably in the best position it's ever been in. It's probably more popular now than it ever has been. And for each of us, I'm sure that's affected us in different ways. Who would like to chime in with just some thoughts on how this has affected? Wes, go ahead. And
I just want to say one thing. Yeah. You can't not talk about the pandemic when it comes to one, Fallout, or two, podcasts, because we all got locked down in our own little vaults.
That's true.
For a period of time and couldn't go anywhere. Yeah. So you identify. I mean, how many of you decided to go out and play Fallout because you could wander in the wasteland and felt like you were getting some freaking fresh air because you could go outside and interact with people online? Yeah. It opened up entire worlds that were being shut down to us and allowed us to start reaching out to communities. I think it helped the community grow. We made more friends online during that period of time that became closer friends to us than we ever would have if the pandemic hadn't happened. And frankly, it was our own personal apocalypse and wasteland. That's so true. I mean, very identifiable.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a solid point. Go ahead.
The biggest downside is that we unfortunately didn't meet an untimely demise and then have the time
unfortunately.
To, you know, well, to pose as like one of those joke skeletons you run into, you know,
for people later on to come and see the environmental storytelling of the remains
like
of our bodies.
I like to keep my joke skeleton on the inside.
Yeah, I agree with Wes. But that is hilarious to think about in a really dark kind of Fallout sort of way. Absolutely. Who else has thoughts? Chipmunk?
I do, Tom. And it's because, and it's very recent. We did, at Good Springs a couple weeks ago, we did a watch party. And I had said this before to a couple people, but it just hits me every time. 10 years ago, when I was playing New Vegas, I was playing New Vegas and loving it like everybody else does. And then later, you know, there was never a moment where I thought my life would go in any kind of direction that it has with Fallout. And when we were at the watch party, I walked from the bar through the little room adjacent, and I'm thinking that, as I always do, you're in there, you're in the front or the Pioneer Saloon, and it's so authentically game accurate. And I walked out and a friend of mine was standing there. I said, was there ever a moment playing the game? And he was a content creator as well, that you ever imagined any of this happening to you, to the point where you're doing shows and you're creating new content, you're creating lore to some, you know, and it's like, never did we see this coming. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing to, and I can't, and you, when I was on your show before, I said, I can't thank Bethesda or anybody who allows the creative community to share in their creation the way they do, because it is, it allows us to so much creative freedom and expression and to share and to grow the community. It's magical. And to be part of that is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah, and I have to give props to Bethesda as well. The content team, like the content creator marketing side of the, and but also other people I've met at the studios and the development, everybody I've spoken to has been very, very supportive of us as content creators. And you can't say that for every video game franchise across the board. We are very fortunate to have the support of the studio and the publishers that are behind the games that we love and give us the freedom to do this and the support to do this. And I think that is a big, huge thing as well.
That's because they're just like you. I mean, I've been over there. I know these folks and I know you guys, and you've seen them at some of these things when you go out and mm-hmm. we do these little get togethers. You've seen them. They're as big a geek as you ever want to have. We're all proudly nerdy. We're all playing games. You know, there are voiceover actors who don't play the games. I don't happen to be one of those.
Right.
And I get with the folks over at Bethesda who not only play their games, they play other people's games. They love other games. They love the community. And it's sort of like, hey, I got this cool little red wagon. You want to play, you know? And everybody else, you know, you got the people who are like, nah, my wagon, this is my little red wagon. I ain't sharing it with nobody. But what's the use?
Right.
You want to share.
Right.
You want to have fun. You want to open it to the community. And then when you start seeing the stuff that starts coming out of it, it's magic. It's not a coincidence that a lot of people on a lot of these mods that have been built have ended up getting hired by the gaming companies.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the college draft in football. We go out and start looking for the superstars, and it doesn't have to be, you know, instead of going out and seeing how fast you can run, how, you know, high you can jump, it's how nerdy are you? How much do you get into the story? Can you live, eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff? And truthfully, when you play the games, I mean, I've played it for so long that I've gone to sleep and I dream in that world, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And you play I'm going to play for a half an hour tonight before I go to bed. The next thing you know, you hear the birds chirping outside and you know right, that not just right. your day, but your week is toast, but you don't regret it.
That's a fun point. Raise your hand if you've had Fallout dreams.
I had the result of a Fallout dream. So it's like, yes, you totally get it. And I, it was the best dream of my life, by the way.
That's awesome.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, Brad.
So on that point, Wes brought up modders, which I think is a really good example to bring up. But I think looking at it from the perspective of people like myself and Lawrence and the other people, Preston, who do story podcasts, I think that, mm-hmm. and I'm not claiming credit for any of this, but I think what we have done is we were a proof of concept for the fact that Fallout storytelling, what we saw played out in a multi-million-dollar production by Amazon, mm-hmm. we demonstrated way ahead of time that that's something that had legs. We showed that you could tell great stories. And most of us, I know I'm doing this, everything I do is completely self-funded. I'm sure most of us are doing it like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's what we find in the couch cushions, and we're able to tell compelling stories doing that. And now you see that writ large in the Amazon series. And yeah. I take a lot of gratification from that, saying, yeah, you know, this shows that we were all onto something. All of us that have tried to tell stories, whether it's in an audio fiction thing like some of us do, or in whatever form we do that. And that's something that's pretty awesome. So it's,
and they enjoy that stuff. And Nolan has said he's enjoyed that stuff, you know? So yeah. He's, you know, I mean, how does it feel for you guys to know that the people who put together the games, the people who put together the TV series, hear and enjoy your work as well as you enjoy theirs? How does that feel to you?
So there's a phrase that I used, and I used it in the season finale. I've said it before. I used in a radio interview yesterday. It's kind of my go-to line. Never in my wildest and most aspirational dreams could I have conceived of something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say I'm just some idiot with a keyboard and a copy of Final Draft. And yet, you know, I along with the amazing voice cast that I have and the support of the community, have had hundreds of thousands of people listen to this story that I've done. And what you're talking about, Wes, the people who actually are behind the creation of the franchise itself and are the honest to goodness stewards of keeping it as an ongoing concern, they know about what we do. They appreciate what we do, and they think that it's good. That's amazing. I never.
When they come to you and they go, hey, you get it. I mean, that means something. It's like when Chip said, I got the experience because I also am a gamer. I'm not just a voice actor. I'm also a gamer. So I get the experience. But when they get what you do, that means the world, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you kind of touched on something. Before I can get into that, I have to thank Cream Puff the Big for $100 donation. Thank you so much.
Cream Puff.
That is amazing. Cream.
Cream Puff, how you doing? Thank you for swinging that hefty hickory for us.
I put a goal of 500 with just, you know, hopes. I just picked a number. I'm like, maybe we can hit 500. We're already 175 into it. So it is possible, it seems like. But then
one absolute gamer came and dominated a fifth of that goal.
Right. Well,
you should have seen what Chipmunk did the other night during one of our panels. Thank you, Chip.
Oh, gosh.
Chip came through and it was like, I have sold my firstborn and here's the proceeds. So it was great.
Well, thank you. And I had such a riot on that, but we can talk about it, but I thank you. It was great.
Brad hit, thank you for contributing, Chipmunk. Brad hit on something too. The fact that so many of our shows, because we are content creators, but most of us, I'm fortunate to be able to do this full time now because of the support from the community and the fact that I do multiple shows and all of that. But this show did not start with any sort of funding, any sort of like Brad mentioned, like this is, and I know all of us understand this. It's extra time you put in outside of work and family, mm-hmm. and you have to stop playing games. Like, this is one of those things that comes up more often than I would expect. When people and you guys have mentioned, some of you I've worked with on your podcast, you've joined the network, and I've given you some guidance on some things. And the question I get a lot of times is people will ask, well, how do you have the time to do all of this? And then when the answer is, well, I don't play as much games, oftentimes they go, wait, that's not a thing I even considered sacrificing or would want to give up. But in order to be a content creator, in order to create something of value or turn it into a career or whatever, you have to sacrifice something.
Yeah. My brother has gotten so far ahead of me on Starfield anymore that, I mean, I got the controller, I got the headset. I was so totally into it. But because he has the time to sit and play it. And he's like starting to send me things like, look at the ship I built. And I know you have people in Fallout who are calling up going, hey, look what I just built. I just built this in. Here's how I built it. Here's how I put it again. And it's like, it's a lot more fun when I'm doing it myself than listening to you tell me about doing it.
Right. And now I still get to play games, so it's not a, you know, a total loss. But it's
work-life play balance.
It's
people
a balance.
Forget the play.
Right.
Forget the play in that.
Right.
Work-life play.
Right.
Fundamental human need, that need to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even for people who are creating content like live streams, like Toon, like you're streaming the game most days.
Yeah.
You're still playing the game. But that, I know that engagement is different when you're in front of an audience than when you are just on your free time. Right. Like there's still
I don't really play Fallout 76 outside of my non-streaming time because I want to have good boundaries with it. I want to be able to pick it up on a live stream and be able to bring you the same energy I would each day. So I have that boundary where it's like, if I have to do something for work around it, I'll certainly play the game off broadcast, but all of my experiences also to be live and lived out in front of the audience as well.
Yeah. It kind of changes
real,
your relationship.
Spontaneous.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does anyone else feel like that, Scully?
Yeah. The only time I game is when I'm streaming now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because it seems like it's valuable time.
It's gaming.
It's still gaming, but it definitely changes your relationship. And that goes back to my initial question. Like, how is your relationship with Fallout, whether it's the game or the show or just in general, how has that changed? And I think that is something that has changed. Like, I've had to give myself permission because oftentimes I spend a lot of time thinking about Fallout or Elder Scrolls or whatever the other shows that I'm doing, planning the next episode, researching stuff, doing whatever. But I have to give myself permission to, okay, tonight I'm just going to play the game without any other goal than just having fun.
Do you feel guilty?
And it's weird. It's weird, like, because it's your job now, right? But like, no, yeah. I'm just going to play and have fun. I'm not going to worry about like, oh, I'm going to go over this area and pay special attention to this quest line. Or no, I'm just going to play like I used to play. I'm going to get into my character. I'm going to go do whatever shows up in front of me or whatever quest line I want to do in the moment. And it feels like one of those things I have to give myself permission for. Does anybody else feel like that?
But I mean, like, yeah, but then in and of itself, that kind of becomes part of the quote unquote job of being a content creator, because even when you're just playing a game and enjoying the game, there's still that part of your brain that's like paying attention to, you know, details of the game's world that you might not have noticed otherwise. But since you've gone and done research and just so happened to pass by this other thing, you return to it when you're actually playing and you're all like, that's it. That's the thing from the research I did.
Right. Right. Like I played through, there's stuff in Fallout 76 that I hadn't done yet because I kind of put it to the side. I was doing other games. And then I went back and I had to like, and I was in this debate. I was like, how far into these dialogue trees do I click? Or do I just click the answer I want to give in order to keep moving the quest along? And then I was like, oh, if I skip something, am I going to feel bad? Well, no, I can go back and do it again, or I can look it up or whatever. But like, it's that weird, like, oh, am I cheating my job by like doing this differently than I would when I'm researching?
On the other hand, when you're actually streaming and doing a job, do you find yourself trying to resist falling down the rabbit holes that are inherent in these open world games? Whereas you have to try to force yourself to stay on a quest because you're trying to get a story across to those who are watching. You feel indebted to them. Whereas if you were just by yourself, the main quests end up about 500 miles in the background because I've already wended away my way through 17 different rabbit holes and have come out the other side and don't know where I start again.
Right.
Like Sean can wait. I got potatoes to plant.
Yeah, Sean, you can wait. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it changes your relationship. Toshi?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, yeah, like I was actually streaming Starfield. I don't even know what day it is. What day is it? Wednesday? Tuesday?
We no longer Tuesday right know. Now. Nobody knows.
It's my birthday, Toshi. Thanks a lot.
Oh, sorry, Brad.
Oh, happy birthday, Brad.
Happy birthday.
It's not his birthday.
But like I was streaming Starfield the other day, and I went in to like check out the new stuff for the update, like the new map, the stats and stuff like that, just to play around with it and stuff. And it, like, as you were saying, like, yeah, sometimes when you're streaming, it's like, okay, I have a goal for this stream. I'm going to do this this mission or this quest, or like, you know, mess around with this setting or whatever. And for me anyway, my brain like focuses on that. Like, I have to focus on doing this because this is the goal I set for the stream. And in a weird way, it both reinforces that sort of like research part of your brain, but at the same time reinforces that playing part of your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't engage, you can't disengage every part of yourself. You're still, as much as you want to maybe separate yourself, sometimes the other parts of you are going to click in. You're going to be getting ideas. In fact, sometimes that's when you get your best ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, Tom, that I have learned or found more things doing your show. He's like, wait a minute, what is, I didn't do that in Fallout 3.
Oh, wait, that was an option on that quest?
Where I can actually get to that.
Yeah.
And every time, I never met Ruska the Bear until your episode. And now I have.
Awesome. Awesome.
One thing that we...
Go ahead, Brad.
For story podcasters, it's a little bit of a different consideration when you play, because we're not looking for lore that we can talk about those sorts of things, but we do have to be mindful. I know my approach to my show, even though I'm stubborn about not retelling stories that have already been told in the game, I also, like the TV show, I'm very cognizant of not contradicting existing canon or lore. That's something mm-hmm. that's extremely important to me.
Right.
So when I play, I have at least one and maybe one and a half eyes on what's happening in terms of lore so that I'm cognizant enough of it that I don't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Because that is something that is completely unforgivable for me. I would not be able to forgive myself if I did that. And I'm pretty sure I haven't done it yet, but I'm
tricky.
That's something that we all have to be careful.
It's tricky because there's stuff that's way more obvious than other stuff. And sometimes you just have to make sure you're paying attention. But tell you what, this show is, of course, going to get away from us. I have to do a mid break in order to thank our patrons. And Ken wasn't able to be here. Ken from the Chad podcast. But he did write something that I want to read out during the mid break. I'll try to make this as quick as I can. And then I want to find out, especially from those of you who haven't had a chance to chime in as much, what you think things will be like in the next 100 episodes, so like 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. How will mm-hmm. things change, either in Fallout or for you as a creator? Like, where do you see the future? We're gonna get out our crystal ball, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, real quick, we got to shout out our newest patrons: Xander, Defcon Son of T-Minus, Mr. Cooper 21, Austin S., and William K. Thank you for your support. Thank you for signing up at patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast and checking out all the different stuff you can get: ad-free episodes, t-shirts, and stickers. Joining us on patron chats, like the one coming up just a week from now. Lots of fun stuff that you can get over there. And I have to shout out our sentry bot, Germinator. Thank you for your support. And thank you to all 117 of our current patrons and everybody else who has ever been a patron, who is currently a patron, anyone who has supported this show. Thank you so very, very much. Also, I have to read out this message from Ken. I'm going to do the reading out of the reviews next week. I'm going to push that back a week so we have more time to chat. But Ken couldn't make it. He's been very busy with some other stuff going on. But he's been on the show multiple times. He was a co-host on the Fallout Hub when he and Dave and I did the Fallout Hub together. And wonderful individual. You should check out Chad Fallout 76 podcast if you can. He writes, what can you say that hasn't been said in the last 300 episodes of the Fallout Lorecast? I suppose we can do something Tom rarely, if ever, does: talk about himself. At the start of my own journey in podcasting and all that it has led to, Tom was one of the first people who reached to me, offering both a home on Robots Radio and friendship. He is a passionate He is as passionate about using the power of words to bring people together to celebrate games as he is about the unshaking belief that you can, in fact, not just be successful in this space, but make it your own. And it is. All over the world, tens of millions of gamers spanning over a quarter of a century have fallen in love with the post-apocalyptic world of Fallout. And of course, words are tough, or this wouldn't be the 300th episode. The Fallout Lorecast became one of the most central places where we can gather virtually to celebrate the richness of its lore, its mysteries, its tragedies, and even our hopes for its future. From me, from the cast and crew of Chad of Fallout 76 Story, and everyone at the Fallout for Hope charity initiative, round of applause for 300 episodes. Here's to 300 more. Thank you so much, Ken, for those kind words. All right, let's continue our... Yeah, everyone's clapping. Let's continue our conversation, because I want to hear about some of your projections about the future of Fallout. So here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
It's all right. Toshi was jumping in during the sound effects, but it's cool, man. What's up?
My bad.
No problem.
I wanted to kind of like prime this and throw it back at you real quick, because one of the things that Ken mentioned was like, what more can be said about the Fallout universe? And as a Fallout Lorecast channel and talking about the lore and everything, I want to throw that question at you, actually. What's one of the bits of Fallout lore that you've wanted to talk about on the podcast, but either haven't had the opportunity to or just haven't gotten around to yet?
That's a great question. I have prioritized the mainline game content more than DLC content. I think if you look back through the list of topics, I've hit a lot of the broad topics. I've had a lot of specifics for mainline game quests and some of the little known things that you might know about this or that, or ways that the Fallout timeline plays into our real world and diverges and all of those things. But I haven't spent as much time, and I've done it occasionally, I've dug into DLC stuff, but I haven't spent as much time with DLC content. So it's not that I've avoided it. It's just it feels like it hasn't been as central to some of the topics that I have been discussing, because it's often a side story with a very specific character or a set of events and those kinds of things. So it's probably something I'll dive more into over the next year. So that's a great question. So, all right, let's talk about the future of Fallout. I know some of you haven't had a chance to chime in as much. Who has thoughts on where things are going to be in the next 100 episodes, in the next, like, roughly 2 years? Lawrence.
Well, I do think we are entering even more of a golden age of Fallout. I think over the next couple of years, we're going to get the next season of the TV show. If the first season was any indication, I think we have a lot to look forward to. There's talk of them fast tracking a Fallout game, you know, potentially even, you know, farming that out. So, I mean, Fallout 76 has been a gem that I think Bethesda is going to continue to shine. So I think over the next 100 episodes, what we're really going to be talking about is an expansion of the Fallout universe. And it's not just going to be the TV show. I can see them expanding into other forms of media potentially. They really want to strike while the iron is hot. So I think we as content creators are going to have a lot to be talking about. But I'll also say, too, that Fallout 76 has been a hub of the community that I don't think Bethesda ever expected. And you see things like the Wasteland Theater Company, you know, the audio drama shows that we've done and a lot of the groups that have come out of that. I actually see them potentially investing in that and watching that expand as well. So I think all of us are really entering a content rich environment that we are going to be able to take advantage of. And Lorecast shows and all of us are going to be talking more and more Fallout as time goes on. And I really see this community continuing to grow. So that's where the direction I really see it going.
Yeah, that's an exciting point. Toon, you wanted to chime in. What did you want to say?
So I'll throw something out there that is going to be wild a bit. I think that Skyline Valley in Fallout 76 is going to be so successful that we're going to see another part of the map expand in the next 2 years.
I certainly hope so. I absolutely hope so.
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
I'm very excited about the new map thing. I've got a brand new character coming out.
Yeah. So did you guys know about this? I didn't know about this until Wes told me. We were talking the other day. Tell them about your character.
They've previewed it online. It's already out there. There's a clip out there.
For somehow I missed it. I'm online all the time. Go ahead.
Kevin, the Cowardly Park Ranger.
That sounds amazing.
So he was just so much fun to play, and more Protectrons. And truthfully, we had a panel the other day where we had both Paul Eiding was on it and Stephen Russell and I, and we're all sitting around going, hey, guys, We all voice some robots. Poor Paul Iding got his voice taken over by Matt Berry.
That's true.
In the series, but I heard no voices for Protectrons or Sentry Bots. Mm-hmm. And, Paul, you know, has, you never, I think bring Paul in and let him be a salesman at some point.
Yeah.
For Vault-Tec, you know, yeah. or make him a ghoul. Either way, he's an attractive man. right. But we would love to do something like that. And I would hope that as an Easter egg, being that the Protectrons were all kind of made in the same factory to begin with, they might consider having me come back. And
that would be so exciting.
These little guys. I love these little guys. Yeah.
From the standpoint of a fan and somebody who clearly recognizes, I mean, most of us, if we hear any of the specific voice actors we're familiar with, be like, oh, that's the same voice actor. That's them. That would be so exciting for the fans of the game. If in season two, you and some of these other voice actors show up in these roles, that would be amazing.
And what they did with the Easter eggs was so great in the first series, because there were things that we saw that played the games that we knew what they were. And for people who are just getting into Fallout, it may have gone over their head, but it still worked and was effective for them. They just didn't know that they were looking at us spelling out the special skills at the beginning when she's going through her training.
Right.
They didn't know in the middle of Philly, we're watching Vats in action.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm screaming in my living room. You know?
He's got the bloody mess perk. Yeah.
So those little things like that were just wonderful and amazing. And I think that they really got it. Mike Rawson and Chris Shula doing ghouls, smooth skin. Walt Goggins didn't sound like that. Walt Goggins is a sexy ghoul.
right. He's got that little bit of a southern lisp, too.
I mean, people are out there going, hey, man. No nose is the new good nose.
Yeah. All right. Who else has some projections here? I know some of you guys haven't had a chance to chime in as much as others. Preston, what are you thinking?
Well, just coming from my own perspective with how I kind of conjure up different content and ideas for Walter and Bunny, my protagonists, I'm already basing a lot of what I do off of what we already know from Fallout. So it's just, I'm just thinking there's so much, you know, there's so much of it. Mm-hmm. So from the show's perspective, I mean, we've seen so much from the first season, but also think about like the amount of things we haven't seen or seen covered or just all of that stuff. So just 100 episodes from now, I mean, there's still going to be like not enough. So I think they're always going to have something to show, like super mutants and all the different
options.
I'm sure we're going to see Johnny Pemberton as a super mutant as he's, you know, that FEV or whatever that was.
Right.
It's just, and then we're going to see New Vegas, obviously, which is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. And who knows, we might see, for some reason, DC, Boston, Appalachia. We don't know. I just think the possibilities are endless.
But will we see Harold?
I hope we see his little sapling son.
maybe a little tree child.
Yeah.
Tree baby?
My baby
girl.
Yeah.
All I know is in season two, the second a Cazador shows up, there's going to be a massive drop in viewer retention.
Everyone runs away. Oh, God, not those again.
I love how they set up Kyle MacLachlan. To go from, we've all seen Kyle MacLachlan as a nice guy in films. We've also seen he can be a tremendous evil douchebag. And to watch the transformation and realize that the baddie, the true baddie through the whole thing, had been there all along. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. All right, Lainey. You've been quiet. We've been talking all this content creator stuff, a lot of things. And do you have any expectations? See any predictions for Fallout, for the games or the TV show or any of that stuff?
I don't know about predictions, but I can share a silly thing that keeps happening to me.
Okay.
So I've done this podcast, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
But like most people don't watch the podcast live. So most people don't know what I look like.
Right. Back when you and I did it together, we would stream it live and those videos went on YouTube. And then when I went back to just meet by myself again, I just only did audio. So, yes. Yeah. But you used to be in front of the camera all the time. Yeah.
but not everyone knows that or has seen me. and every once in a while I'll be somewhere and someone, like, lots of people are just now getting into Fallout, right, because of the show and everything. Uh-huh. And so people will be like, oh my god, I'm really into this Fallout show, it's super cool, like, have you heard of this? And I'm like, oh yeah, like, I love this show. I love Fallout, like, whatever. And they're like, man, yeah, I'm, like, super into it. So I started listening to this podcast. Have you heard of the Fallout Warcast?
Wow. And you're like, well, let me tell you.
I'm like, oh, I don't know.
That's what's hilarious. Really cool is when people start recognizing your voice but don't know where from. Like, they're in a grocery line, oh, and they're, man, like, yeah, did I go to school with them?
Right.
Does that happen to you?
Oh, I'm sure that happens to Wes all the time.
People think they know where my voice comes from, but of course I do the stuff for the Washington Capitals, and I've been getting my face out there recently. So sometimes I get recognized, and it makes me happy to know that it's only like a very small level of it, because people like George Clooney, who can't go anywhere in public because they're always George Clooney. Yeah. Me, I'm just like, they're just like, ooh. And leave that old grumpy guy alone.
Who's the old guy? Who's the old grumpy guy?
I hear Cheryl Gorath in my mind.
I don't want to have to go all mad god on them. I don't want to do it.
You just happen to be in the cheese section of the grocery store, and someone's like, there's something very familiar about this.
Just start messing with them and hit a little with a little bit of Hermaeus Mora.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
You can tell when they think that they know you from somewhere, but they're not sure. Mm-hmm. And there's that weird thing. And then, you know, most people are very cool, and other people look at you like, hi.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the people, I'm sure everybody
want to suck a part of your soul out now.
I've joked about this before. I'm sure every single one of you has, because we're public figures, we're content creators, has gotten messages where somebody just like private messages you, hi.
Oh, everybody gets those now. That's just spam.
That's the problem. The problem is, I don't know if this is just somebody who's nervous to talk to me and they're a fan of the show, or if this is spam or whatever.
If you get high, you say bye. That's it.
Bye.
There's no reason. First of all, hey. Oh, look, this pretty girl is saying hi to me. No,
yeah,
that's someone who looks like Ed Asner with a carpet of back hair, right, who is typing to you right now.
Right.
Go away. Leave him alone.
Right, right. Yeah, that's always confusing.
Let me share one if I can real quick, Tom.
This, sure.
To take it to that a different level, and this has happened recently several times, I'll be playing with Linda or whatever, we're not taping, and somebody will come to the casino, and a player comes in, and I'm usually in there because I'm rearranging my stash over the encumbered stash box. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden I'll get a message that says, is this from the Chipmunk Show? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, it is. And then the next thing is, oh my God, are you Chipmunk? And I'm like, yes, I am. And then, and this is what blows my mind, they're like, can I take a picture?
That's great.
Oh my God, I'm famous in a digital world.
Right.
To these fans. And I'm like, sure, you can take a picture. They're like, oh, can you stand by Roy then? And I'm like, oh my God, they know the show, and I'm so appreciative. And then I'll talk to them forever. But it's like, I couldn't have ever imagined that happening. And I love it so much, because it's just this digital thing that they love and share, and it's wonderful.
And you should go to some of the cons, because the people at the cons would all know you. They would all know you.
I've got, it's funny you say that, because I'm going to be at the Pasadena one on a panel on the 9th, and then they put on, it looks like we're going to be on a panel at the San Diego Comic Con, which, thanks to the guy with the Game Boy camera, because he's brought me on, and it's because he loves the show. And
can I give you some advice?
Yes.
Go see everything you want to see and enjoy your freedom before the panel.
Right.
Because once you do the panel and they know what you look like, you're going to be going, it's going to be like you're in a line at Disney World, couple steps, stop, couple steps, stop, couple steps, stop. You're not going to be able to get anywhere. You're not going to be able to go and do some stuff. So enjoy the time ahead of time. Did you see what the Breaking Bad, Walter White,
Cranston, Bryan Cranston?
Bryan Cranston, what he did at San Diego Comic Con?
No,
he put on a lifelike Walter White mask, and it was like this mask, and he walked around with this lifelike Walter White mask on, and everybody's thinking it's funny, laughing, joking, taking pictures of him all day, and he gets on the panel and walks up there with the mask, pulls it off, and it was Bryan Cranston underneath of it the whole time.
That's brilliant. Yeah. That's
yeah. So cool. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. I will do so because I really do want to enjoy it. And I'm honored to actually even to be able to go there. So
this that's is cool. Have a blast, man. Have yeah. a blast because people will recognize you and they will talk to you. And it's very cool because, again, like we were saying, Tom, earlier, when you come out and you talk on this 300 episodes of you basically being their friend and talking about things that they love, they develop a relationship with you that you have no idea about.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Until you actually get a chance to meet them. And it's overwhelming sometimes to talk to people who have appreciated and loved your work or enjoyed your company and to be able to say hello to them and to thank them for what they've done. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the best part of some of this.
It's one of the reasons that one of the things that drew me to podcasting is because I felt the same way about my favorite shows, even 15 years ago now when I was listening to early podcasts. And when sad things happened to the hosts, I felt really bad for them because I felt like these are my friends. They just don't know me yet. You know, like there's that mm-hmm. feeling. And so I realized, and this is something I talk to when we have new creators join the network. I explain to them, I'm like, you might start off what feels slow with only so many listeners, but your big fans, the people who are really there from the beginning, who listen to you for hours and hours and hours, will develop a relationship with you that you just aren't aware of yet. And
you don't know until they file those separation papers.
right. But be aware when people reach out that like they know a lot more about you than you do about them. It's just, you know, you play catch up a little bit, right?
Sometimes they know more about you than you do.
yeah. Lainey, did you raise your hand?
Oh, just another funny thing that happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if this happens to you guys. It would most likely happen to you of anyone else I know. Oh, do you hear the dogs barking? I'm sorry.
You're fine. You're
That's okay. We love dogs. Yeah. dog meat. Let them go. Dog meat junior and dog meat the third.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the story?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be playing 76. I play on Xbox or PC. So if anyone wants to play with me, I'll be on there sometimes. But I'll be on there. And you know how friendly people are in 76 anyway? Mm-hmm. Like, you'll play and you'll be nobody. And they'll just, like, give you things if they're a higher level than you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I have my username on there. And I've said it in every episode of the podcast I've been in. So then people become very adamant that they will give me presents.
You have to take this so like your grandmother who's like, no, you take the money, you take it and wads it up in your hand and is like, take the money and go. Yes.
Yeah, it happens. It's pretty funny. And like, I don't want to ever sound ungrateful. I'm always like, oh, thank you so much. But then people will drop, like, they'll drop a bag of stuff and I'm like, oh, thank you. And then they'll follow me for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And then they'll drop another bag of stuff. And then they'll keep following me and drop another bag of stuff.
Okay.
I'm so over in life.
Run in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Unaccompanied bags.
Direction towards the closest police station.
Right. Because
they'll just keep following you otherwise.
It's not mine.
I have to like weave through the wasteland to try to like lose them.
Mm-hmm. I actually have my username on Xbox is one of my characters' names, but I never tell anybody who it is.
Now people are gonna. Now you're gonna start some Reddit threads where people are like, "I swear, I ran into Wes Johnson the other day."
The one that I want to find out more of, folks.
Yeah. Well, all I know is somebody early days of Fallout 76. I'd go in and I'd be listening to like the Protectrons and listen to some of the voices and stop so I could hear how it all works in game. And I'd have people come in and like just like frag me.
Oh, yeah.
Take me out because I'm standing there listening. And so they walk up, frag me, take my stuff. And I'd write their names down. I'd be like, you know,
you're cheese on my
eater
list.
76. When I find you, cheese eater 76, you're going down.
We found Wes Johnson's villain arc.
Yeah, there you go.
Tom, the one that I want to find out is I want to find out what John Carpenter's in-game name is.
Oh my god,
that is my holy grail.
He's like, you gotta be careful
with the game.
Absolutely, you gotta be careful giving away your username name because people just might nuke your whole compound.
Well, like poor Phil Spencer.
Yeah,
poor Phil.
Yeah.
He was the final boss, guys.
That's right.
He's the secret final boss. They won. That person won the game. Jess, you haven't had a whole lot of chance to chime in so far. I want to get your take on things, too. Where do you see things going in the next few years?
Sure. Well, I have a quick thought exercise for our listeners.
earlier we talked about how, do you ever dream about Fallout? Uh-huh. So if you are a person who said yes, if you said yes, when you dream Fallout, is the HUD New Vegas amber? Is it Fallout 3 green? Or is it isometric? Do you dream in isometric?
I don't know that I ever see the HUD.
Are you top-down turn-based in your dreams?
Mm-hmm. As if dreams ever give you a chance to take your full turn. But right. I like thinking about the isometric games and the old games, because that's one of the things that you do so great with the Fallout Lorecast, Tom. When you created the show, you know, not, you know, to bring it back to you and the reason why we're here, you would... decided to cover topic by topic, quest by quest, faction by faction. You said, we need a lore cast. You know, a lot of people did Let's Plays. A lot of people talked about, you know, general Fallout games and news. And you brought all of that in, especially with the Fallout Hub. But on the lore cast specifically, you said, let's look at a character holistically. Let's look at a faction holistically and trace their passage through the games, including the old games, the new games.
Boy, you gotta.
Just love that.
Mm-hmm. How many people started with Fallout, the original Fallout?
I missed it. I was around, but I was
Fallout
busy.
Fallout 1, I played Fallout 2. Yeah. They were amazing games.
Yeah.
And then when I got involved with Fallout 3, I was so freaking excited, I just can't tell you.
Absolutely.
And then I had people coming up. I had a guy came onto my IMDb page and said to me, he's like, you couldn't wipe your ass with a Michael Dorn script. And I'm like, well, that would be rude of me to do.
That's a terrible
Michael
idea.
Dorn. Hey, Michael, here's your script. He'd beat the pudding out of me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no competition. The FEV works differently on everybody.
Right. Yeah, I was in college. I was right before college. I was a senior in high school when it dropped. I was playing PC games. It totally should have been a thing that was on my radar. But most of the games I played, it's because I had friends who were recommending them. Like when Quake came out or Doom came out and I had other friends. Or like I remember when Quake launched and I think I was a freshman or it was a freshman year that I heard about it. And the junior who sat in one of my other classes next year, like listening to me, my buddy and I talk, was like, hey, have you guys ever played Doom? And we're like, what's Doom? And we're like kind of shy because he's like older guy. And he's like, you absolutely need to go play Doom. Here, I'll bring you a disc. And like
peer pressure.
Yeah. But nobody was talking about Fallout in my circles. So I missed it. I didn't even know it was a thing until years later. And then I had to go back and re-experience everything. But yeah, Jess.
I really enjoyed your episode a month or two ago, going back and reading some of the reviews of 97 Fallout, you know, another Lorecast episode, putting that in context. What did people think about this brand new thing? No one ever heard of Fallout at the time. And I loved how prescient that GameSpot.
Oh my gosh.
Was, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Some of them would be just like reviews that came out today for a modern Fallout game. Like they were spot on.
Yeah. Oh, but the game was bloody. It was hilarious. It was twisted and weird. What was not to like about it?
Right. Yeah, it was very self-aware and yet very serious. And there's so many layers that are now things that we kind of expect for certain types of games to be. If you know, we're looking
it was like it. The original Fallout was like a lot darker in tone compared to a lot of other video games. It was closer to like a horror game, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, PC games in general for two decades by that point were being designed more for a mature audience because people had to be able to afford a PC. Whereas Nintendo consoles and things like that tended to shoot younger, like the original PlayStation shot younger with its targets. So if you had been somebody who was playing PC games, then you were familiar with dark, more adult focused content. But that you hadn't seen it yet in the packaging that Fallout put it in. It wasn't just a fantasy game or some weird and wacky, you know, modern day situation. It was this post-apocalyptic wasteland with references to the real world, references to movies, to comedy, to all sorts of things, and gave you the flexibility to choose
spaceships.
Your path. And spaceships,
Doctor
aliens.
Who, there was a TARDIS in there.
There was a TARDIS. And it also gave you the flexibility to choose what you were going to do and how you were going to interact with that world. And there were only a few games that really gave you that much actual story freedom up until that point. So, yeah, it was pushing way. I don't know. It was punching above its belt. Like it was amazing.
Would you say time wise in the timeline? Fallout, this little test here for everybody in the timeline, Fallout, would you say that Fallout 1 was the earliest game after the bombs dropped in 2077?
I think everybody knows the answer to this one, right?
Yeah, of course.
Except for Fallout 76.
That's right. It was Fallout 76, and then Fallout 1 followed that. Mm-hmm. After that was Fallout Tactics in 2197. Then you had Fallout 2 in 2241. Fallout 3 was 2277. Mm-hmm. Fallout New Vegas, 2281. Fallout 4, 2287. And the Fallout TV series is now uncharted territory, because it started in 2296.
Right, right. Yeah, it's
the most recent one. So everything there, it can all be fresh lore. It can all be fresh. It's like, is it canon? Yeah, it's canon. It's a different format, but it's canon.
Right.
And, you know, wouldn't it be interesting if these characters did show up in a game? I know people are already creating them in Fallout 76.
Yeah. Yep. And there's mods for Fallout 4 and yeah, all sorts of fun things that people are working on. Absolutely. It would absolutely be awesome to see. I'm sure they're going to do more crossover stuff and things as we go. But we're past an hour. I don't want to keep any of you too long. I very much
value.
And
we almost got to talking about how sexy Walt Goggins is as a ghoul, and then we'd be here all night.
Well, we'll have to schedule another get together to talk just about how sexy Walton Goggins is. That'll be a very specific episode. Yeah. But thank you, everybody, for joining me. And before we head out, Wes, would you like to share anything else about the wonderful Alzheimer's Association stuff that you're doing?
Voice-a-Palooza is going big this week. We've got some big stuff coming up on Friday. Ken and I are going to be doing an interview at 5 p.m. on the Twitch Fallout Chat Fallout 76 channel of Tim Russ, who not only played Tuvok in Star Trek, but also has been in Fallout. So we're going to spend some time with him. We're going to be doing a Whose Apocalypse Is It Anyway improv session with a number of different voice actors on Saturday afternoon. And then Sunday afternoon, we're going to do our Voice-a-Palooza Prime. And that is where we take movie scripts, your suggestions for lines. We create a video game using your suggestions. It's a train wreck. And we're going to have John St. John, Duke Nukem, Ellen McLean, who is GLaDOS, Sniper John Patrick Lowry, Jan Johns from Fallout 3 and 4, Mike Rawson, who's all the ghouls from Fallout 3 and 4. We're going to also have, I'll be there, but more importantly, Matt Mercer, who is with John St. John and I for the very first Voice-a-Palooza we did years ago at MAGFest, will be joining us. It's going to be just such a blast. The week after, we're working on radio programs. Last year we did Death Shroud, which had Nick Valentine with Stephen Russell back and all the original cast. We're doing that again, this time two separate radio shows. And we're going to have a week dedicated to the devs from Fallout, from actual Bethesda, are going to be joining us in the middle of June. And we're going to have the devs from ESO, because the new Gold Road is coming out.
Yeah.
And I've got some new characters. Hermaeus Mora, I reprise in that once more. But I also have another character that almost made me cry when doing it. It was so emotional. Some of the writing is just amazing. I don't know if you know this, but the lead writer used to be involved. Was one of the original Dungeons & Dragons guys.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we'll be talking about all that stuff. We got things going on all through June. You want to find out what's happening? Go to voiceapalooza.com or check us out on I'm Wes Johnson Voice on Twitter. And I'm also Wes Johnson on Instagram. And you'll find those things out there. I hope that you will all join us, and I hope that you will donate and help us drop the gloves on Alzheimer's disease. And for those of you who did donate tonight, bless you. Thank you. You're doing wonderful good.
Yeah, thank you, Wes, for all the work that you do with that. Also, thank you to Nuke Me Gently for the other $50 donation. That's two $50 donations from you tonight. Thank you so much for that. And to everybody who's chimed in and been here. And I'm just going to read through everyone's names, but you heard their intros. You know what stuff they do. If you found any of that stuff interesting, go check out the things that they're putting out into the world, because it's a passion thing. But I'm sure if you are into whatever it is that they do, you'll probably like it. So go check out Brad and Scully and Chipmunk and Preston and Tooniversal and Toshi and Lawrence and Jessica and Lainey and Wes. And thank you all for being here. for this wonderful occasion. I hope we get to do this again. Another 100
congratulations,
episodes.
Tom.
Congratulations.
Congrats, Tom.
Awesome. Thank you all. Thank you all, chat. Thanks for being here. And I'll be back next week with our patrons and then back to the regular episodes again. So, and also
irregular episodes.
Irregular episodes. And just remember, if you want to help donate, there will be a link in the show notes if you're listening on the audio version. So lots of ways for you to be involved with that as well. Awesome. Well, thanks for being here, everyone. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.